Okay. Good morning again. My name is Josh, lead pastor here at Bethel, and thank you for joining us in worship. I know some of you are new or new-ish. I know that we have a lot of people watching online. So can we just welcome them with a hand clap? People ask me, why do we do that? Because I really believe that Jesus is going to change their lives if they, by faith, would trust in him. I don't think there's anyone in the world that's beyond the grace of Jesus. Because I'm here as living proof that God can change dead people and make them alive again. So when we clap for you, we're saying we want God to do in you what he has already done in some of us. And we clap because we know that God can do in you what he has done in some of us. So that's our welcome. If you would like for us to pray with you or connect with you this week, use that green connect card in the pew in front of you. If you're watching online, you can connect with us online. We would love to pray and encourage. We look through every single connect card that we receive, and we pray over those diligently and faithfully. So we're in fall season, right? It's the season of change. The days become shorter, and the nights become longer. I don't know who legislated the time change thing, but I'm going to ask God about that when I get to heaven one day. It's the season where the trees change, the leaves fall off in splendid color, the forest lights up in vibrancy and oranges and yellows and reds. It's the time where some of you hibernate, like the animals do. It's the season that ushers in the holidays. Candy corn and Christmas. But it's also the season that brings a peculiar day we call Thanksgiving Day. Some of you are like me, and our Thanksgiving Day began yesterday at my grandmother's house. And my grandmother celebrated her 93rd Thanksgiving. She's still eating turkey after all these years. I don't think she watches online, but Mamaw, if you can find a way to watch online, I just want you to know the church clap for you. But just thinking, what a joy that is. It resets who we are. And I'm reminded that the Holy Scriptures have so much to say about thanksgiving and thankfulness. So for the next several weeks, I'm going to give you a break. I know Judges has been a heavy sermon series. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to have a breath of fresh air. The next 2 weeks, we're looking at gratitude. Gratitude 101 is this week. So if you don't come next week, you're only going to be half as grateful as you should be. Because that's gratitude 102. So this week, we're going to look at being thankful. Next week, we're going to look at giving thanks. Why in that order? Why should we be thankful first and give thanks second? Well, I love this quote of G.K. Chesterton. He said it this way. He said, the worst moment for an atheist is when he is really thankful and has no one to give thanks to. You can't give thanks truly, fully, if you don't have someone to give thanks to. So the scriptures tell us that being thankful to a God, the one true God for the Christian, is the prerequisite for giving thanks. So here's what I hope. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I pray that this Thanksgiving is the first Thanksgiving day that you will truly understand what it means to be thankful. Because God has done something new in your life. So today, very simply, here's a sermon title. Be thankful. Gratitude 101, be thankful. We're going to look at two texts, one in Isaiah 38 and one in the New Testament. So as I've already mentioned, the scriptures have a lot to say about giving thanks. So much so that the book of Psalms, one in every six psalm is a thanksgiving psalm. As Frank has already prayed over our congregation today, using one of those psalms, that we should be thankful because he is good and his mercy endures forever. Psalm 7 says it like this, verse 17. I will thank the Lord for his righteousness. I will sing about the name of the Lord Most High. So one out of every six psalms, that's the psalm book of the Bible. One out of every six times that the Old Testament sing, they're giving thanks to God. I think that's an indicator for us. Not to be outdone by the Psalms, the entire Bible mentions thankfulness or thanksgiving over 150 different instances. So the Bible is saying you should be thankful. You should give thanks. And if you disagree with that, you have to leave here saying at least that God instinctively desires his people to be a thankful people. If the world knows nothing else about us, they should see in you, a Christ follower, that you are thankful for something. Now, if you say, well, what should I be thankful for? I'm glad you asked. That's why you're here today. Because we have so much to be thankful for. So, Isaiah 38. We're going to jump off there. This is why we should be thankful. Now, let me give you the context. In the latter portions of Isaiah, we meet a king named Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. There were only six good kings. He was one of the good kings, unlike his dad, King Ahaz, who was a bad king. Ahaz, bad. Hezekiah, good. Make sense? Ahaz, a good king, speaks with the prophet Isaiah, and the prophet Isaiah says this. I need you to know that the Lord says that you are terminally ill. And God tells him in the book of Isaiah, set your house in order. Get your will together. Get things together because you are going to die. So Hezekiah, because he's a good king, takes the Lord at his word. But Isaiah does something peculiar. He turns his face to the wall. And he cries out to God. He says, God, remember me. I was faithful. I have walked in your ways. God, hear the prayer of your servant. And God hears Hezekiah's petition and grants the king 15 more years of life. And you say, well, how did that happen? I don't know. I'm just telling you what happened. But there was something in the life of Hezekiah that God didn't change his mind, but he said, Hezekiah, I hear you. I will be gracious to you. I will grant you more life than you could ever imagine. So what you read in Isaiah 38 is Hezekiah's thanksgiving prayer to God's answered prayer. So you're listening to the song of a dead man thanking God. Does that make sense? So this is what King Hezekiah, who once was going to be dead but now has 15 years of life, this is what he says. In Isaiah 38, verse 18 and 19, he says, God, Sheol cannot thank you. Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, only the living can thank you as I do today. A father will make your faithfulness known to generations. And if you remember what Frank led us in our time of prayer, it says that God is faithful to generations. So when we start with thanksgiving, here's where thanksgiving begins. Point number one is simply the heartbeat. Thanksgiving is the heartbeat of the living. Thanksgiving is the heartbeat of the living. These are the words of a dead man who has a new lease on life. And he's saying, when you die, it's too late. If you're dead, unless you are around the throne of God, you cannot give praise to the Lord. So Hezekiah says, Sheol cannot thank you. Now, Sheol and Hades and hell are roughly the same thing. So Sheol, Hades, and hell. So for Hezekiah, he's saying, God, those who are unrighteous and have gone to Hades, when they go there, they cannot worship you. And here's a reminder in our lives. Sin deprives you of the privilege of being thankful. Sin deprives you of the privilege of being thankful. So if you are here today and you are not a thankful person, ask yourself, are you alive? I'm serious. Ask yourself that. Are you alive? Secondly, you need to ask yourself, okay, if I'm living, am I living in sin? Because sinful people aren't thankful people. Because I know in my life, sinful people aren't happy people. Because sin is poison. It's destroying your soul. It might be sweet to your lips, but it is bitter to your heart. And Hezekiah knows this. He says, God, dead people can't be thankful. Ephesians 2 in the New Testament echoes the same language. If you say, well, of course I'm alive, why would you ask me that question? Because Ephesians says this, and you were once dead in your trespasses and your sin. You see, the New Testament says you were born dead, not alive, because you were born in sin. We were all dead, but there's going to be hope. Just hang with me. Dead people can't give thanks. So ingratitude is the heartbeat of the dead. Gratitude is the heartbeat of the living. So Hezekiah says, Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Then he says in verse 19, God, the living, only the living can give you thanks. If ingratitude, if grumpiness is the heartbeat of the dead person, gratitude is the heartbeat of the living person. I don't know about you, but I want to be more alive than I am dead. Anyone with me there? Even grumpy people could agree with that. Even thankless people could say, I'd rather be alive than dead. That's what God does. One translator says that Hezekiah's prayer is best translated this way. He says, the living one, only the one who lives again, will be the one who can praise thee. Thankfulness is the heartbeat of a man who lives again. And if you're familiar with the words of Jesus Christ, you're hearing that theme. What must a man do to be saved? Jesus says, well, he must be born again. Find out what Hezekiah knows. That Jesus makes that which was dead alive again. The same passage in Ephesians. Ephesians 2:1. You are dead in your sin and trespasses. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy. I love that. Our God and Father, He's not just merciful. He's rich in mercy. He doesn't say He has a little mercy. He has more mercy than you could ever imagine. So would we run to Him and find mercy? He is rich in mercy because of His great love for you. God doesn't say, I tolerate you. I put up with you. I love you with a little love that's in my heart. God has great love for you. We live in a world that's unloving. And so God says, I'm different. God says, I have big love for you. Verse 5, He made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in our trespasses, you are saved by grace! Exclamation point. So we normally read this, but God, who is rich in mercy because of great love for us, He made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. That's not the way Paul's writing this. Can I demonstrate how I think that Paul is writing this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? This is the way that Baptists should be reading this too, by the way. But God. Now I think Paul, if he has a scribe, he's saying, did you hear what God just said? But God, who is rich in mercy. Now if Paul is dictating this to someone who's writing, I think Paul's in the background going, my. Rich in mercy. Because of His great love for us, He made us alive. Paul is saying, I was once dead. But I am alive. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. Paul is saying alive people are thankful people. That's who we are. So if you are a Christian, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ and you were dead in sin and you are now alive by grace, you are thankful. You don't have a choice. You say, well, I don't want to be thankful. I do have a choice. Well, then stay dead. Because alive people are thankful people. That's just who we are. I love what a Tennessee farmer once said way back in the day. He said, whatever comes out of the bucket is found in the well. That's how we are as Christians. We can't help but be thankful because God has given us a new heart. What comes out of the bucket is found in the well. And we drink deeply from a well that will never run dry. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners who drink of that, man, lose all their guilty stains. We are thankful people. So gratitude 101. How do you be thankful? Be alive. Live again. And if you are in Christ and you forgot that you were alive, you are. Be thankful. And when you, by faith, receive God's free gift of salvation, something fundamentally changes. The Bible says when you, by faith, trust in Jesus Christ, not only are you made alive, He takes you from the jaws of Sheol and gives you a new lease on life, but He gives you new clothes. So let's look at these new clothes that Jesus Christ gives you. So if gratitude 101 is be thankful, then gratitude 101.1 is wear saints' clothing. Wear saints' clothing. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Colossians 3. Some of you need to get your fashion game on point. I'm not talking about going to the store. We need to wear the clothes of righteousness. Colossians 3, verse 12. Wear saints' clothing. Therefore, as God's chosen ones. By the way, if you've given your life to Christ, that's you. That's you. But there's more. As God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved. Sound familiar? Paul is echoing what God has done in his heart. Put on. That's the language of getting dressed. It's as if you're going to hunt and you want to make sure your wardrobe is exactly as it should be, so that you're not spotted by the animal. God says, dress in a way that people can spot you in me, and the enemy can't spot you. Put on compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And then verse 15, he says, let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. Be thankful. It's that simple, because Christians should put on the garments of our Lord and Savior. You didn't realize Jesus, you thought he was a carpenter. But Colossians says he's a tailor. God has tailor fit clothes for you to wear. Wear them well. These are saints' clothing. And when you wear the clothing that Jesus has made for you, you become thankful. Listen to how Jesus says it again. Let's go through the thankfulness of our lives. He says, be thankful because Jesus has freed you. He's freed you. He's freed you from the bondage of Sheol and hell. God did that for your life. God has freed you from the bondage of darkness, and He's transformed you into a new and better kingdom. We were once in darkness, but now we are now living in light. So the Bible says the Messiah clothes you with thankfulness. You were once naked and ashamed and guilty because of your sin, but God took that shame and He gave you righteousness and thankfulness. Be thankful. Colossians says this, be thankful because the Lord has chosen you. Now, I know what you're thinking. You say, well, I came to faith on my own. No one chose me. I chose God. You think so? You really said, you think God looked down and said, you know what, that Josh, man, he has it going on. You know, Marcus, if he was on my team, I would change the world. You know, Carol right there, man, I need her. The Bible says that while you were still a sinner, Christ Jesus died for you. If God was waiting for you to take the first step, he would have never sent his only son. And he chose us. He sent Christ to make a way. Now, you had to receive the gift by faith, but the gift was already wrapped. The gift was already presented. And I read this and I think, God, you chose me? Out of all the people in the world, out of all the artists, and of all the CEOs, and of all the presidents, and all the giftedness in our world, God chose me. Man, I can't imagine how great his love is. For those that are chosen, the Messiah clothes you with thankfulness. And if you're here right now and you think, well, God would never choose me. I was always the last one picked in dodgeball. I was always the last one in Red Rover. No, I've never been chosen by anyone. I want you to hear what God says. He says, in Jesus Christ, I've chosen you if you believe by faith. You are called and redeemed, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. So would today be the first day in your life that you are chosen by someone? That God says that you are mine and I am yours. By faith, we receive the gift of eternal life. Man, just to know that I'm chosen makes me thankful. I don't know about you, but makes me thankful. It says this, by Jesus Christ and his blood on the cross, he has not only chosen us, but he has made us holy. To say in Old Testament language, just like this, although our sins are as scarlet, he makes you white as snow. I don't know about you, but I had some stained garments in my life. And to know that Jesus has made me holy makes me thankful. So when Satan says, Josh, don't you remember the old t-shirt you used to wear? You know, the one that had the oil on it and the one that was dirty and soiled. You can't go before God with that on. I get to say, Satan, you don't understand the clothes that my tailor gave me. He gave me new clothes. He's made me holy. He's given me imputed righteousness to me. That's what Jesus Christ does. The Messiah clothes you with thankfulness. But there's more. He has chosen you. He has made you holy and dearly loved. I'm thankful that Jesus loves me. Some of you thought that was a children's song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, where did that come from? Right here. The Bible tells us so because it is so. In a world that only wants to kill, steal, and destroy, God wants to heal, restore, and love. I am thankful that the Messiah clothes me with love and thankfulness. But we see this also in verse 15. Not only does he choose you, not only does he love you, not only does he restore you and make you holy, but it says in verse 15, Colossians says, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called, right, chosen, in one body, rule in your hearts and be thankful. We should be thankful because the peace of Jesus rules. The peace of Christ doesn't affect you. The peace of Christ doesn't change you. The peace of Christ doesn't encourage you. It does. The peace of Christ for the Christian rules you. We live in a world that is not ruled by peace. But your heart can be ruled by peace because He is the Prince of Peace. And when you are ruled by peace, He clothes you in thankfulness. One commentator said it this way: believers should be as thankful as refugees who have escaped the bondage of a repressive culture and found refuge in the land of freedom. It's like a refugee saying, I'm finally free because Jesus has found me. That's gratitude 101. I simply say to you, dear Christian, because you are made holy and dearly loved, put on saints' clothing, the tunic of thanksgiving. Put on the tunic of thanksgiving. You say, well, okay, what is all this thanksgiving? I get it. Be thankful. I get it. Gratitude 101. Okay, how do I live that out? Jared Wilson, a phenomenal author, wrote a story, and he said, here's how gratitude changes the life of the Christian. And he tells a story. He said, imagine, if you will, maybe going down Saney Road, you cross the train tracks. And as you're going across the 10 train tracks, your car stalls. And you think, this is not good. So you put your car in park, and you try to crank up your car and it won't start. As you start to sweat, you look to your right and you hear a whistle blaring from down the ridge. And it gets closer and closer, and the conductor realizes there's no way that he can stop in time. As you close your eyes, prepare to get hit, you feel it. And you wake up in a cloud of smoke thinking, I've died. What you don't realize is that someone behind you has rear-ended you and knocked you off the tracks. But to save your life, they died in the crash. Wilson says, for the Christian, this is exactly what Jesus did. When death and Hades and shame and hell was barreling down in our life, Christ hit us and said, Father, I will exchange my life for theirs. How thankful would you be if someone did that on the tracks for you? That's the life that you have in Jesus. But Wilson says there's one more thing. Can you imagine you're sitting there and you're weeping and thanking God that you have been spared like Hezekiah? That you hear a whimpering in the background. And what you don't realize is that before you got in your car, your kids were playing hide and seek and one of them jumped in the trunk. And you realize that the person who gave their life for you also died for your family. He said, that's the gratitude of the Christian for Jesus. The more we understand grace, the more thankful we become. Thankfulness doesn't end when you get saved. Thankfulness is a well that the more you drink, the more you realize that God is abundantly more loving than I could ever imagine. The more sinful I realize I am, the more thankful I am that He has made me holy. The more the world tries to beat us up, the more thankful I am of His mercy. You see, this is the thankfulness of Jesus Christ in our life. It's a well that never runs dry. See, thankfulness does not stop when you give your life to Jesus. It's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. If you're here right now and you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, listen to what Ephesians says again. You were, he's writing to Christians, you were dead in your sin and your trespasses. If you've never confessed your sin before a holy God and repented of that and turned to Jesus Christ, you are dead right now. I know what you're thinking. How dare you call me dead? I do that because I care for you. Because you don't have to stay dead. Verse 4 says, but God. And I believe this is your but God moment. You are here to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ because God wants to save your soul. This could be your but God moment. You say, oh, I came to this church right before Thanksgiving, but God showed up and I walked in here dead, but I left alive. See, Jesus describes it this way. Jesus says, how can I be saved? And Jesus says, you must be born again. How can we be born again? It's by praying and asking God to change our lives by faith. Your prayer could sound something like this. Listen, this prayer doesn't save you. A prayerful heart by faith in the one true God saves you. But you could pray this prayer. Just do it right to where you sit. Maybe you're watching online. You say, I need God to save me. I'm tired of being dead. God, my life is broken. And I recognize it's because of my sin. If you've given your life to Christ, would you just remember the day that you prayed a prayer like this? Because this makes me thankful. God, I believe that Christ came to live, die, and was raised to dead to rescue me from my sin. This is the hardest word to say right here, isn't it? God, forgive me. I turn from my selfish ways and I put my trust in you. I know that Jesus is Lord of all. And so God, today I will follow him. If you prayed a prayer like that, if you turn from yourself and turn to Jesus, today you can say like Hezekiah, Lord, the living will praise you. Lord, the born again will give you thanks. Because gratitude is the heartbeat of the living. If you've given your life today, would you let us know? We want to celebrate with you. We want to tell Satan, you lost one more. And we want to celebrate with God and say, God, there's one more in the kingdom. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved by what Jesus did for you. That's gratitude. If you're here and you've given your life to Christ, remember, because God has made you holy and dearly loved, you should put on saints' clothing. You are clothed with thanksgiving. Would the world say that you're thankful today? If we asked your coworkers, would they say, man, Josh is, I don't know what's up with that dude, but he's thankful. Something's happened. He's thankful. Would your spouse say that you're thankful? Would your neighbor say that you're thankful? Would your children say that you're thankful? If they can't, that can start again today. Colossians says, put on the clothes of Jesus and be thankful. You see, church, a life of gratitude begins with a redeemed attitude. We can't be thankful until we are born again. And when you're born again, when Jesus has redeemed your attitude, you can't help it. So we tell the world, we're sorry. It's just who I am. Because when you understand how much Jesus has done for me, whatever comes out of the bucket is coming from the well. Be thankful, church. And may the world know that you are born again. Let's pray.